Hi, this is Diane.
And this is Kelly of the History Goes Bump podcast.
We are in our 10th year of production for the podcast.
And we can say without reservation that no other podcast has covered as many haunted locations as we have.
We prove that history isn't boring.
It's terrifying.
Find History Goes Bump wherever you get your podcasts.
Keep it spooky.
Fam, Amy here. Welcome to The Activity Continues, a podcast where three soul friends talk about all things paranormal. Ghosts, hauntings, psychics, movies and TV shows, especially The Dead Files, and other spooky and spooky adjacent things as well. We also like to interview people in the paranormal community, as well as past Dead Files clients and other interesting people. Sometimes we even tell your stories. We hope you enjoy the show.
Are we saying hello?
Oh, should we go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1?
Yeah, yeah, let's go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello.
Welcome, Ghosty fam. Thanks for joining us again. This week, we're continuing our spring break series called Ghosts Gone Wild. This is week 5, so only one more left of these warm locations. This episode is one that Amy chose, so she can tell us more about it.
Hello, everyone. This one's called Deadly Force, and it is season 11, episode 13. Takes place in the Florida Everglades and actually the town called Davie, Florida. The original air date, October 3rd, 2019. And the synopsis on the Travel Channel is Amy and Steve head down to the Florida Everglades to meet with a Reiki master who claims her family is being torn apart by violent paranormal attacks. She is worried if Steve and Amy can't help, someone's going to wind up hurt or even dead.
Dun, dun, dun.
And I will say this, we all noticed that there were a lot of very
common,
reusable
sayings
that they use a lot over and over again. This one was full of them.
Mm-hmm. So much.
Yeah.
So if you want to play a drinking game, this would be a good one to do it to. Or not, you might die. I mean,
small sips.
Yeah, don't chug a drink.
Yeah,
you'll literally die because there were so many.
But there were so many.
Obviously, you two never did Power Hour in college.
No, what's that?
Oh yeah, I did, but I'm 40
you didn't do
now.
Shots. You did chugs of beer or drinks. Whatever you had. But it's play a song countdown, and then every time it came up as it was.
Ours was Darude Sandstorm, so you just chug it to the chorus of Sandstorm, just finish your drink, and then you had to have a couple ready so that you would finish one and just pick up another one, finish that one, pick up another one.
Oh,
how are we still alive?
That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, you had to start early.
You want to go with how we're still alive? Let me paint a picture for you.
Picture it.
It's like 2008, 2009, even before that. Mm-hmm. Between 2004 and 2009, we're at a house that is called the Hockey House, which then turns into the Lacrosse House. Mm. And the basement is not much better than a dirt floor.
Nope.
The Lacrosse boys put in a stripper pole at one point, and there was a platform, whatever. It just had loud parties with DJs and, everybody
drinking. This is like every college house ever. Yeah.
Floor, shoes are sticking to it. This is where we played beer pong. And this is where we didn't use water in the cups. We actually had beer in the cups, and we used water to wash off the ping pong ball because that was going to save us.
It was so unhygienic.
But we would play with it. It would roll off the table. You'd find it underneath somebody's shoe. It'd be sticky. You're rinsing it in and you're hanging it off there, and then you're throwing it back across and still drinking when there's stuff floating in your beer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We had the swimmer's house in Stevens Point. We went to the swimmer's house. That was our big thing. I met a lot of Steves there. A lot of Steves, I swear.
Brads and Chads?
No Brads and no Chads. Lots of Steves. Like, I swear, every person I met was named Steve.
Oh, that's so funny. Mm.
And then I don't remember. And then you, oh my God, we could go on about... To
that's
this day,
whole episode on how we got through college.
On how we got through college. So one of the girls I was friends with, she knew people who threw like the best parties, and so we went to one called G.I. Joe's and CEOs and corporate hoes. Mm-hmm. And so, yep.
Like
I wore
house
just
party.
Like a pantsuit with a bra and just a suit jacket because I thought I was thinner then, and I, you know. To this day, I cannot drink any brown because I took a shot of brown beer, liquor, instantly threw it all up. So
really?
First wow. shots I did really was before Christmas one year when it was all the finals and everything.
Mm-hmm.
We were at Hockey Girl's house
mm-hmm.
and we were getting ready to go out. And
it was always some sport.
Oh, yeah.
Hockey house, swimmer house, lacrosse house.
I played sports, so I was always with that group of people.
Oh, I wasn't.
And
I didn't play sports.
We were sitting at a table playing games, and everybody was kind of leaving to go other places, and I was still sitting there with a couple ladies, and a guy sits down and has a bottle of Black Cherry Smirnoff.
Ooh.
Yep.
I got gut rot just hearing those
words. That's awful.
Black Cherry Smirnoff vodka. And he sets it down on the table. He's like, I'm driving tonight, so I can't drink this. So what does our brilliant brain say?
We'll drink it.
We got to drink it.
Yeah. Yep.
Someone's got to drink it.
So we played games. And there was shots going so quickly.
Yeah.
And I do remember that night, which is crazy. But
that's amazing.
Like, it was like, I remember going out after Christmas. And we were going hunting with my dad and my brother. We were headed out west to go pheasant hunting. And I had a sore throat, so I had to use the Chloraseptic, which is cherry flavored.
Oh my God.
I just about puked right back into the anything black cherry for a long time.
Nope.
Oh, thank you.
It's amazing. Ugh. Anyways, it's amazing. The point is, it's amazing we survived college with the antics we did.
Yeah, it is. So. It is.
All right. We got some content warnings, people.
Content warning.
So deep depression, we have a murder, we have a suicide, graphic nightmares, inappropriate ghostly behavior.
Childhood cancer.
Oh, yeah. Like childhood cancer.
Kind of a big one.
Yeah.
Sorry. So.
But she's fine. She came.
She's fine.
Us,
she lived. So. She's the Reiki master.
Yep.
She's living her best life. But
yep.
Yeah, she did have childhood cancer.
And let's see. Okay, so as AP said, there's one more episode in the Spring Break series, but we do have some other fun things lined up. We've got some exciting interviews. We are bringing back Leah, the shaman.
Mm-hmm.
And she went on this really amazing vacation to Thailand. And
she started in the UK.
Was it UK?
Yeah,
yeah.
She started.
She's been all over. I mean, it was an amazing trip. We all follow her on Facebook and saw all her pictures, and they look so beautiful.
Beautiful.
And,
just
and she's
beautiful.
Talking about, like, you know, I don't know, a lot of you listening probably are following Cindy Kaza, and she recently went on a trip like this where she just went and, like, learned from the natives about, like, how their spirituality is and all that kind of stuff. And it seems to me that I think this is what Leah did. And because it seems like she came away with a lot of new ideas and stuff. So I asked her if she would like to come on and talk to us about that. She said she'd be happy to. And she had a lot of really great stories to share, she said. So
awesome.
We're going to be meeting with her in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And then that will be one of our first interviews back in the interview realm. And then we have at least two clients potentially lined up. One is interested. I just, right now she's in the stage of listening to us, our other episodes, to find out if she wants to or not.
That's fair.
And I haven't heard yet. So
we're not everyone's cup of tea.
We're not everyone's cup of tea. And that's why I always say, you know,
right.
Go ahead and listen to us first.
Yeah.
And if you like us, then we'll like you and we'll have a great time.
Yeah.
And if you don't like us,
That's fine.
That's fine.
Yep.
No harm, no foul.
Yep.
So there is one that is in that process. And then the other, I just found the other day, And she is interested. I don't know if she has listened to us yet, but we've been chatting a lot. And she's super cool. So not going to say who they are, but those are in the works. Pretty sure they'll both happen. But and then we're also going to bring Zoe back. Zoe is our patron and friend who we brought her on once before to tell some cryptid stories. Mm-hmm.
And, yes, and she had some really good experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she did. And she is, I don't know if she considers herself a medium. Does she? Do you know?
Either of you? I don't know if she does.
She is a tarot card reader. She's pagan. I think she's a witch. I think she says she's a witch.
She's definitely super sensitive because she has done readings for me
and Amy.
Yes.
She and I were talking.
Tarot. Yeah.
And she's like, I need to do you a reading for you. And I'm like, yes, you really do.
Yeah. You should. You should do
you
one
just
with her.
You just got to schedule it with her.
I know. I do.
Yeah. So she's going to be on again and talking about how she does that. And yeah, I know she sees spirits and she talks to spirits. She found. I had posted a picture of, we did a house concert at my house, and Melissa, our composer of our intro, and we did a house concert at our house. And I took a bunch of pictures and I put them on Facebook. And Zoe's like, that one picture of this one part of your house, there's a little girl there. And she said she talked to the little girl, and the little girl likes my house because of the dogs. She likes to come and play with the dogs. And she likes that it's peaceful and calm. And I'm like, really?
Is she in, in the right house?
But so I know she sees spirits and can talk to spirits and stuff like that. I just don't know if she considers herself a medium or not.
Yeah,
but
I don't know if she does either.
But at any rate, she will be back. And then the last little housekeeping thing is...
Two things left.
Oh, yep, there's two. You're right. As Megan mentioned, if you want to... play along a little drinking game with this episode, because there's a lot of these repetitive phrases and things, because there's so many, and we realize that there are so many in all the episodes, that we are going to design a little bingo game. And by the time this is out, we will
have drinking. I mean, you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can drink every time you get a piece on the bingo card.
Or just dot it if you're a non-drinker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Either or way. Put stickers or color it in or whatever, whatever your little heart desires. It is your bingo card.
That's right. So we'll get that, and that'll be up and ready for you by the time this airs. And then the last thing is, I want to invite everybody to come on over to the Dead Files group, the Facebook group that we have talked about. There's a couple different groups, and there was one that was a hot mess for a while, and we were kind of making fun of it. Mm-hmm. This one is pretty good now. It's very big. There's like 75,000 people.
There's a lot of people in it. Yeah.
But
it's good.
It is good. There are
lots of discussions, lots about the shows and about other paranormal stuff, other paranormal shows.
Yeah. It used to be just Dead Files. And now that the Dead Files is sadly probably not coming back.
Is it sad?
It's
sad because we like the show.
Yeah. I can't imagine it actually. Being successful again, but whatever. No. What do I know?
And it's not because of Cindy or not because of Amy. It's just
no. It's just things have changed.
Yeah,
whatever. So, this Dead Files group is morphing into more of a like all things paranormal. And here if we want to talk about our experiences and has anybody had premonitions and things like that. So I'll put the link in the show notes. I urge you all to come on over and join the party. It's real fun over there. And I think that's probably all I have. Either of you have anything else you want to bring up?
Nope.
Okay. Well, let's get her done. All right. So since this is the one that I chose, I wrote the overview for it. Cue the music. Tonight, we are traveling to Davie, Florida, which is in the Everglades. The client is Krista, who happens to be a Reiki master. She lives in this house with her mom, Michelle, and her father, Michael, or Mike. Her brother, also named Michael, and his fiancée, Kara. But Michael and Kara do not stay in the house. They are in an RV that is on the property, and we'll talk more about that later. But basically, he can't stay in the house.
Because of the activity.
Right, right. They have been experiencing crippling anxiety, depression, brain fog, hearing voices, doppelgangers, nightmares, apparitions, and being touched. Steve first rules out some random animals. Then he gets to investigating and he finds out about a man who owned a lot of land, including the clients. And he led a really interesting life. And we also learn of a murder-suicide that seems like it should have been more a part of this whole picture, or at least talked about a lot more. But we'll get into that again, too, a little bit later. Amy meets two ghosts who seem to connect well with Steve's findings. One is pretty scary. And honestly, she is being highly inappropriate with one of the living people and downright evil with another. We see two sketches, one terrifying, and then on to the reveal. And this is where we learn who these ghosts are and how to get rid of them. Amy gives them some advice. They say they're going to do everything she says, but will they? Stay tuned to see if the activity continues. Unleash the power of stories anywhere, anytime with Audible. Immerse yourself in gripping stories, insightful knowledge, and captivating characters anytime, anywhere. Audible is your library on the go. With hundreds of thousands of titles across every genre, there's a world of reading waiting for your ears. Listen while you cook, clean, or commute. Free your eyes to conquer your day, all while feeding your mind. Start your 30-day free trial today and discover the joy of listening. Go to audibletrial.com/TAC. That stands for The Activity Continues. With your free 30-day trial, you get one credit, two credits if you're a Prime member, good for any premium selection titles you like, yours to keep. You get the Audible Plus catalog of podcasts, audiobooks, guided wellness, and Audible originals. Listen all you want, no credits needed. Again, that is audibletrial.com/TAC. If you're a regular listener, you know we love our three spirit drinks.
They are the non-alcoholic spirit drinks that are taking the world by storm.
Three Spirit is a range of three distinct drinks, each with its own unique flavor and effect.
The Livener is a refreshing and invigorating drink that is perfect for starting your day or night.
The Social Elixir is a smooth and sophisticated drink that's perfect for sharing with friends.
And the Nightcap is a calming and relaxing drink that's perfect for winding down before bed.
All three drinks are made with plant-based ingredients and are free from alcohol, gluten, and sugar. They are also vegan and ethically sourced.
So, whether you're looking for a delicious and refreshing drink to enjoy on its own, or a sophisticated non-alcoholic alternative to cocktails, Three Spirit is the perfect choice for you.
Try Three Spirit today and discover the difference. Visit us.threespiritdrinks.com and use the promo code THEACTIVITYCONTINUES for 15% off your entire order.
Cheers!
That was the best one yet. They do refer to her brother as Michael Anthony.
I thought it was Anthony. I wasn't sure. And yeah, I was going to I didn't write it down, but I was going to go back and check. But then I thought, someone will tell me.
Because the family kept going back to calling. They put Mike in the screen, but the family kept calling him Michael. And then that was the dad. Yeah. And then the son is Michael Anthony. And so that was their designation. So that's where I got confused. Yeah. I'm like, why did they use Mike if everybody else just calls him Michael?
That is weird. Maybe the crew called him that to not be confusing. I don't know. But anyway, so I will say that one of the first things that Steve says is, as he's explaining to us what's going on, if Amy and I can't find a way to stop it, someone's going to get seriously hurt. So that's going on the bingo card.
Yeah.
One.
Matt had to remove a lot of artwork and religious symbols. But
once he's done, it'll be ready for tonight's walk.
That's right. That's right. Amy says there's too much death in this little place. Mm-hmm. There's hate, sadness, and loss, and some kind of religion here. Then she hears witchcraft and don't go in there.
Yep.
Krista thinks that it could kill someone.
Krista looks like she's 15.
She looks so young. Like when she's on camera talking to Steve or whoever, she doesn't seem that young. But when you look at like pictures of her, she looks very young. I don't know how old she was there, but she's adult, I think. Mm-hmm. Because at one point, Steve says, I mean, you're all adults. Why don't you just move out?
I feel like she's probably in her like early 20s.
Yeah. She's
she just looks so young. Girl, yeah. What's your skincare?
I know. She's so cute, too. That whole family is really
the
pretty.
Whole family is just adorable.
Yeah, they are.
The ones we see.
Right. So she thinks she shows a picture of mom, dad, her brother and his fiance. They live in the RV. And Steve asks why they don't just get their own place. And she says she doesn't feel right leaving her parents to deal with this alone.
Mm-hmm. And she's worried about them.
Yeah. And the animals have been affected. They're basically on a little farm, aren't they?
I think it's a hobby farm because they talk about like neighbors. But before that, Steve asks, what if Amy tells you have to move out?
Yeah.
And Krista goes, mom would be devastated. It's our dream property.
Oh, yep. The dream home. It's our dream
home. And they're going to fight this together. Yep. So we got, look at that. We're in 5 minutes in. We've had three total.
We got three.
Someone's getting a bingo.
Yeah. When they start calling out the animals, Steve goes, well, you got roosters and goats. I'm like, I think he means chickens because chicken is the animal. Rooster and hen are the male and female versions of those.
To understand or to know the difference.
Well, because he probably saw that they have the red on top and most people think that that's all roosters and it's not always.
Okay.
But I did put down a comment because they were talking and they didn't give us a lot about like, well, are the dogs affected? And, you know, says, yeah, we have a new dog.
Right.
How new? We don't know. How old? We don't know. Is this a rescue? Does it like there's a lot of what ifs because they talk about, well, the dog stands at the end of the hallway and barks and then acts like something grabbed her. And I'm like, yes, I believe there's some stuff going on here. Obviously, there's definitely stuff going on. But if you've ever had an animal that has had just gets woken up even or something like that, or just kind of stares off, there could be a lot of things that go into that. So there wasn't enough information there for my for my liking on dogs.
Just the other day, we were sitting there watching TV and Digby, our middle dog, was sitting on the floor like between us and the TV. And he suddenly jumped up and looked at looked behind him and then ran in the other room. And I'm like, did a ghost goose you? And
maybe the little girl pet his butt.
Did he fart?
He probably just farted.
Oh, I mean, scared himself.
Yeah, he's scared. Yep.
Poor Digby.
Not the first time that's happened.
No. He's such a gentleman. He's not used to farting.
He's like, I don't fart. That could have been
that
me.
That is not me. And then he looked like Greg. And he's like, I cannot believe you. And then he left.
Yeah. It's not the husband blaming the dog for the farting. It's the other way around.
It's the dog blaming the husband.
Obviously. That's how it is
in my you, sir, are disgusting. Then he trots off with his tail up. And just you can just feel the disdain rolling off of Digby. If any dog, one of your dogs is going to have disdain, it's for sure going to be Digby.
Yeah. Yeah. Digby's the one that sits fancy. As soon as he sits down, the one foot goes over the other.
Yep.
Yep.
Vivian just judges everyone.
Yeah. And yells at them.
Gracie wants to be your friend.
Yeah.
And poor Fozzie doesn't know what's going on.
Just walks around banging into shit and shitting on the floor. That's all right. Yeah. It's hilarious.
It's really a shit show at Amy's house.
That's what I'm saying. Today it was literally a shit show.
Literally a shit show.
Literally.
Poor Fozzie.
Yeah.
So Krista's a Reiki master too. Mm-hmm. Steve asks her what led her down that road. And as a child, she had a neuroblastoma cancer, which is a brain cancer, and it had a low percentage of survival.
Neuroblastoma is not necessarily brain cancer.
Well, the one she had was, though.
Was it? I don't remember her saying anything about brain.
Oh.
Because, neuro makes you think that, but it also goes along with nerves in the gland system.
Maybe I just made that up. I thought she said brain cancer.
Because I looked it up on the American Cancer Society, and I dropped some links about what neuroblastoma is.
I thought she said it, but maybe
I'll put it in the show notes.
Commonly affects the adrenal glands that sit on the kidneys.
Oh, okay.
It's common in children under the age of 5.
Common? Really?
That's where it's common is in children under the age of 5. It is considered a rare type of cancer where it's under 20 cases a year, but it's rare for somebody over the age of 5 to get it.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a typically rare form of cancer.
That's common in young children.
More common in those under the age of 5. And I think I saw in the Facebook group that there were some comments that she was 3.
Okay.
Okay.
When she was affected by it. So there's more information from Mayo Clinic, but normally affects the adrenal glands that sit on the kidneys, but can affect other parts of the body. Stage four, which is what they said has a very low chance. So typically stage four is...
Well, stage four of any cancer is pretty low.
Stage four is that like...
I mean, low highest, risk of survival.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I meant. Yeah.
Risk of survival.
I mean...
if you let me finish my sentence, I'll get there. So stage four has... It's a like higher end... Like higher end cancer. Like
the Gucci of cancers.
But there's usually a lower chance of survival rate for this. This one has a relatively high when you look at what stage four is at different cancers, 50% survival rate beyond 5 years. Friend of mine passed away from colon cancer at the age of 28 with stage four, and that was like a 3% survival rate past.
Yeah, colon's a pretty bad one.
That is a bad one. Get your colonoscopies, people.
Yeah. Clean those pipes.
It's not fun, but it's worth it.
And if you've got a history of it in your family, it can be genetic. So get it checked out.
Yeah. And if you're old, get it checked out either way.
Check it out.
And they also, in some of the reading that I did with on neuroblastoma, is that it can run in families. Oh. It doesn't mean that it is genetic, but it is potential that it could be. They're still trying to understand how everything works. Mm-hmm. Like we see with breast cancer and stuff as well. So, this was an episode that definitely impacted me in different ways. Not that I've known anybody with neuroblastoma, but I've known others. You know, Katie was somebody who I knew and with the colon cancer, and she was like an older sister to me. And we're 13 years, 14 years since she was diagnosed. Just about. Yep. 12 years, sorry, math. But she was, 28.
Wow. Yeah, that's young. Yikes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, yeah, she said that she looked into energy stuff, but at 3, she was interested in that stuff?
Probably after.
No, I think that later. She got older.
Yeah, as she got older.
Okay.
And got, So that's what I took from it. Like maybe you're...
It sounded like she had a few bouts of it with it, maybe from the very early on. She said something about that, and Reiki was a way for her to help kind of mellow out her energies or like control her energies. Well,
Reiki's a healing thing too, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, she said she had been doing, well, Steve's like, so apparently this is more than you can handle or something like that. He said it kind of rude. And I'm like,
oh, he said it rude in the reveal too.
I'm like, dude, she's like, 12 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, she wasn't, but obviously.
But, and she's, I mean, poor thing is sobbing throughout this. And I wrote down the tears and fear are definitely real, not Brittany.
Not Brittany.
And she's definitely scared to, she's definitely scared to lose her family.
Yeah. I did say when she was crying, he didn't offer a hanky. And I said, rude, Steve.
I did that in my row. Why didn't he offer a hanky?
Yeah, rude. You offer everybody else a hanky, but not the 10-year-old? Come on.
I remember something long ago, and I don't know, I haven't ever looked into this if this was true, but somebody said that there had been some research into like the handing of a Kleenex or hanky or something like that is actually almost like a brushing off. Like, I don't want to deal with your emotions.
Really?
So here's your, and I was like, so somebody was tying it into like, it's a subconscious thing that people do to be like, I don't know how to deal with
it. Oh, I think it's sweet.
Yeah, I don't think how Steve meant it when he gave
I'm just saying that is something that was put out there in the ether a long time ago around my brain.
I don't think Steve's that rude either.
No.
I mean, he would probably if it was me crying because I'm too liberal for him.
Right.
But
your tears don't count.
My tears don't count. But allegedly, I should say, I'm only guessing what Steve would think. I don't think he would like me.
No.
But anyway, okay. Are we ready to move on to the Amy's? Does anybody have any more about the first section with Steven and Steve and Krista?
I love how you call him Steven.
I meant Steve and.
That's when you're really mad at him.
Steven. Well, we have called him that before.
We have called him that. When we're mad at him, we full name him. We don't know his middle name.
No. Okay, so next we're at Amy, and she sees an elderly woman who looks like a rotting corpse with two lights for eyes and ratty hair. And I wrote, coming in hot.
To me, do you get, was it Jeepers Creepers or something like that, where the headlights, like, I don't know, there's a few different shows like that. Oh, Bly Manor.
Oh.
In Bly Manor.
Yeah.
It, like, I got an image of something like that.
Yep. But when you say Jeepers Creepers too, I think I'm picturing the movie poster, and I think it does have spotlight eyes or something like that. Yeah.
I bet Megan knows for sure.
Because Megan watches all that shit. Mm-hmm.
I'm like, horror movies, bring it on. No, I don't. And I'm trying
She's
to
regretting
not
very much saying that.
Impart that on Jordan, because I know that I'm like ridiculously terrified of things.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm trying not to.
Yeah.
But he's starting to like kind of be more afraid of the dark now.
Oh, well,
so he'll be like, mama, dark. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm like, it's okay. It's just dark. But, you know, in my mind, I'm like, girl, be afraid of it, because you don't know what's out there.
It is. I mean, fear of the dark is fear of unknown. So
just let your eyes acclimate to the darkness, and then you can see a lot of stuff.
See all the monsters.
And that's even scarier.
Yeah. Okay.
That's me at 3 a.m. After that, I have to let the dogs out, and then I have to try and get back to sleep. And I just lay there with my eyes closed, and I'm like, oh, now I see something over here.
You do that too? Yes. And I'm looking, I'm like, oh, the spots are yellow. Oh, they're blue.
Yep.
And then I'm like, I'm trying to be asleep.
People. I see faces.
I see people.
No, I see spots.
When I close my eyes. Not all the time, though.
Anyways.
I see like swirls, and I see faces.
I see swirls.
Become faces, and then they swirl back out.
I had over the weekend, when I went back to bed after feeding the dogs, it was a long hallway, and there was doors on either side, and there was a man that was coming walking towards me like he had something to say. God. I wasn't scared or anything. Okay. I was just like, hey, who are you? But I didn't get any. But he kept coming. There was a couple of times, and it would like,
I don't
start
understand.
Kind of like,
you weren't afraid. I don't understand. I would literally be like Fozzie, and just it'd be drop, drop, drop of shit as I ran away.
Have you guys done like the glaucoma test or whatever, where they poop the eye? Yeah. Where it like has the little house, and then that was kind of like what it was. He'd get into focus, and then it would set him backwards, then he'd get back into focus and then set him backwards. But I know I had been talking to my grandparents over the weekend, but it's not the shape of any of them.
Weird.
It was a tall man.
Weird. Maybe you'll find out who he is sometime.
Yeah.
Anyway, so this lady is loud.
Lights for eyes.
Yeah, lights for eyes. That could be a good title, except that all of our titles are Ghost Gone Wild. We could do AKA Lights for Eyes.
Lights for eyes, ratty hair, aggressive. Oh my. Haven't done it. Guys, I have a really great idea.
Never been done before.
We've never done it.
Nope. Okay, so this lady wants to be seen. She wants to be the center of attention, and multiple people are being affected.
I know people like her.
Yes, we all
I'm
do.
I'm right here.
I wasn't going to say anything to you.
I know.
One of my dogs is that person.
Gracie.
Yep. Yep.
No hesitation.
Nope. We all know that one. Because you can't walk into a room without her going, hey, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, yeah.
Rogum.
I hate it in this, though, where Amy's like, she puts her mind in their minds.
Yes.
Ew.
Yes.
I hated
Get
that.
Get out.
Yes.
Out.
And then she says she's trying to talk to them, but it sounds like gibberish. And Amy says it makes no sense because her brain's all over the fucking map.
Yeah. Okay. First of all, same. Yeah. Same.
It's called ADHD.
I was telling the girls in our chat, I started to do my notes Saturday, and I have watched 11 minutes of the show total. Between that time, I had made two phone calls, I texted two people, I had played a game, and I'd done my word puzzle. It was like 30 minutes to watch 11 minutes, because I just kept, I would write a sentence, and then I'd stop and do something else.
Yep.
So my mind is all over the map, too.
Yep.
I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Write all that down, so when you go to talk to somebody, you can be like, here's
They'll be like, do you have an example? And I'm like, yeah. Hold the fuck on.
I'm going to just let me pull out this scroll.
And I actually will write it on the back of a CVS receipt. And then I'll just have to have one piece of paper. The joke is that the CVS receipts are really long.
That's right.
It's not as funny if you have to explain it.
Well, our friends in the UK might not know.
That they might CVS not know what CVS is. Long. And that the their receipts store. Are super long.
That it has, it's super long, not because you buy a lot. It's super long because it has 5,000 ads on the back.
Yeah.
And coupons.
And coupons.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, my God. Anyways.
We're never going to know.
We are in like the third section here and 47 minutes in. Okay. So the living room. Can we move on to the living room? Steve's
we can
part?
Move on to the living room.
Okay. So we're in the living room. There's crippling anxiety. Oh, no. This is still Amy.
Yeah. We're in the living room.
This is still Amy. Okay. I it's a different color on my screen and it shouldn't be.
Are you reading Amy AP's? I color coded my notes.
I color coded. What I did, I color I just make Amy
look bad.
I make Amy's and Steve's sections different colors.
Oh, okay.
So that I can tell what's happening, mm-hmm. like whose it is. But and so this one, it was green, and then it was yellow, and it shouldn't have been because it's still Amy's.
No, this is Steve. Oh wait, never mind. I'm looking at my notes. Never mind.
No, it is Steve with the crippling anxiety.
Oh,
and
you're
depression
right.
That comes out of nowhere. Yeah, I know. I'm right.
I thought this was...
You two talked yourselves out of being
I
right.
thought this was Amy feeling the crippling anxiety, depression, and brain fog. This is Krista telling Steve. Mm-hmm.
And it only happens when you're at home and you hear voices, but you can't figure them out. She sees a figure that's mimicking her mom.
Mimickers.
Her mom, she goes... Yes. Well, we learned a new term for it later on.
Do.
So stay tuned.
I didn't notice that term.
Yeah, it was... AP and I both tried to look it up and I didn't find anything.
I didn't find anything, but I have some thoughts on it.
So,
but
I think now we are back to AP. she sees the elderly woman. She's storming through. She says she doesn't know how these people stay in the house. They might see this lady. She hates everything and everybody, but she wants to be alive again, which is not good because it means she might try to possess someone or jump them. And she puts her hand over the living people's mouths and gets right in their face.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I said, that's creepy as hell. Yeah. Yeah. So the way I do my notes, I've started doing like correlates to so-and-so. So the different things. So like Steve is talking with Krista in her room and we start hearing about feeling of being held down while she's sleeping. She's awake and she knows she's awake, but she can't move. Mm-hmm. But it's not quite sleep paralysis because she can move her body, but she can't get up.
Right.
Yeah.
The nightmare is being super graphic.
Yes. Oh.
Specifically seeing her brother dying, like he drowned in the bottom of the pool. And then she feels like something is attached and it crawls into my brain and tries to cause as much mental anguish. So that might be where you get confused. Is this Amy or is this Krista talking? Because Krista was very much going through like how Amy might describe something going on inside of her brain.
Yeah.
And she's like, it comes at me at night and stays with me all day. Yeah.
And Steve called it a temporary possession.
Gross.
Mm-hmm.
Which
I hate that
we find out it kind of is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amy says, the woman comes in here to work.
Yeah.
And Matt's like, what do you mean work? To kill the person. Mm-hmm. She thinks that if she kills this person, she can take their soul to become alive again. I don't think that's how it works.
No. I mean, what she really wants is the girl's body.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to inhabit the girl's body.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that's not what she must be presenting to Amy. Yeah. So she's a little.
Well, she did say her mind was all over the place.
She's cuckoo bananas. We know that. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Now we talk to Mike, Krista's father. And like AP said, it says Mike on the thing, but they all call him Michael.
Yep.
He was not a believer, but he is now.
Bingo.
Check.
Yep. There's another.
Mm-hmm.
We also have to add to the bingo card the reluctant husband mm-hmm. who thinks that everything is bullshit like mine.
Mm-hmm.
he has seen apparitions. He saw a guy standing there looking at him and he turns and walks away. And Steve asks if it was just like a mist or whatever. And he said, no, full facial features. You know exactly what I look like.
He even said he had a gray beard.
Yep.
Like, that's how clear this apparition was.
Yep.
And Steve goes, you sure? And he's like, yeah, I'm sure I wasn't dreaming.
Yeah, fuck you, Steve. Just kidding. But.
And then he says that he feels like he's watched in the bedroom. And Steve asks if it's the dogs.
Yep. I said,
you have three dogs. You sure it's not them?
That's going on the bingo card, too.
Yeah. I said, not the dogs, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
It's never the dogs.
Not the dogs.
I added a word in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a family podcast. We're keeping it PG.
Well, we might be a fish dam.
No, we're not.
I mean, I wouldn't say it good. Well,
we're not.
It's not a family podcast.
Mm-mm.
But Mike or Michael said he feels like something grabbed him and like pushed him over, like it wanted to sit next to him on the bed. But then has also said like he feels like 20 people are tugging on me. And then we cut to Amy.
Yeah.
And she's like, she's doing weird shit in here. She likes the male. Yeah. She wants his attention. Matt goes, why? She's got the hots for him. And Matt's face, I took a picture of that. Matt's face was like,
yeah, it was funny.
Like, what?
That's like better him than me.
That'll be in the video version of this.
Yeah.
If you guys want to watch that, it'll be right here.
She's like petting him. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, look at your eyebrows. Oh, look at your ears. Oh, look at this over here.
It was so funny the way Amy's like she's imitating.
She's touching the pillow.
She's touching the pillow and she's poking at it like, oh, look at your eyebrows. Oh, look at your ears. And I'm like, oh, my God. And then she says, it's fucking weird. And I'm like, yeah, dude, it's fucking weird.
Yeah.
And then she says, it's constant. Oh, my God. And this lady takes showers with them.
To which I literally out loud went, ew.
Yeah.
Ew. Like,
I yelled that. Yep.
Yeah. She doesn't leave their house when she doesn't leave their side when they're until they're out of the house.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Amy says they would have dreams about her.
And she did say there's nights that she'll touch the man all night long. She'll just be touching him all night.
God, can you imagine?
No.
He must think he has a spider on his face.
And he'll probably just casually brush it off.
That was like the guy from the last episode.
Yeah. So this past weekend, I was sitting in the basement and I was watching a movie and I saw a spider on the wall.
Was it Roller Gator?
It was Roller Gator.
Did you watch like 10 minutes at a time?
No, I watched the whole thing. What do you mean? Did I miss a joke?
Oh, because you can't watch the Dead Files more than 10 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
There it is. Yeah. No. So I was sitting watching Roller Gator and superb movie.
I watched it too. Megan and I watched it at the same time and texted each other about it.
It was so bad.
Gummies were involved.
Yes. So there was a spider on the wall and it was a big spider. And so I hit it with my slipper because I called my husband. And he didn't answer. And I said, I've got to take things into my own hands. And so I hit the spider and it fell down behind the couch. And I didn't know if it died. So that was the end of my night in the basement. And it was like 10 o'clock and I went upstairs and I went to bed. I was like, I don't know where he is. I'm out. John's like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah, he could come back and kill me. I still to this day, granted, it was only 2 days ago. I don't know what the plot of Roller Gator was. I do not know what happened in that movie.
I don't know that it had a plot.
It was a stuffed, not even stuffed. It was like a balloon of a puppet.
It was a puppet alligator, purple.
That she carried around in alligator. Her backpack.
Yeah.
She and its hands were weirdly on its nipples.
It was stuck to it. They were stuck to it because they didn't move because they were. Yeah. It wasn't a good puppet.
I don't even know what the plot of this movie was. Yeah. And there was a weird guitar the entire movie in the background.
Yeah. It looked like it was made by 5-year-olds. And then it had this terrible dialogue. What was it? Booger breath was what booger the gator breath, called somebody.
Fish, he called them fish bait brains instead of fish for brains, fish bait brains.
It's like what you would expect a like 7 or 8-year-old boy to write.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad.
It was so bad.
It was hilarious though. It was hilarious.
It was. Anyway, I don't know what got me on that tangent, but
The spider.
Thank you. The spider. Thank you.
we made the connection.
Thank you. I'm glad you somebody's on top of this. That should be on the bingo card too. Megan gets confused. That should be the free space.
Yeah. Everybody gets that one.
Everybody gets that one.
Okay, so Michelle, the mom, she also felt someone sitting on the bed and touching her, and she thought it was Michael, mm-hmm. and it wasn't him. And she said, Michael's touching seems appropriate. I mean, Michael's, the way the lady touches Michael
is appropriate.
Inappropriate.
It's appropriate mm-hmm. for the setting.
Yeah, and she sees her touching, the way the lady touches her, as more loving.
I was like,
I don't think so.
Are you sure?
Yeah, because in the reveal, Amy's like, she wants him. She hates everybody else. Yeah, so she's not lovingly mm-hmm. touching you.
No.
But.
Yeah. But we don't spend a lot of time talking about Michelle.
No.
Michelle, we have a first that I know of in the show with Steve saying, so Michael Anthony's over there, huh? Mm. Can I talk to him? And she had already been talking about like some of the experiences that he's been going with. She said, I don't know what's going on with him, but I don't think so. And
she said he can't do it.
And then we hear a little bit more later mm-hmm. on, but I don't remember having one where we talk about somebody.
Not that they can't do it. It's just
that they can't do it. A lot of times we get that they were interviewed and they just didn't show it.
Yeah. So I think they did that to showcase how bad he really was.
Yeah.
Because he was in a very bad place that we learn later.
Yeah. And she did say at that time that he was held down in that back bedroom that used mm-hmm. to be his.
Back bedroom.
And his overall behavior has become dark and depressed.
Very moody.
And she says, I'm afraid I'm going to lose my son.
That was really sad.
This whole family was just so sweet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were.
But when Amy goes into that back bedroom, she's like, oh, there's sadness. Oh, my God. I don't like it in mm-hmm. here. Like, she's just very mm-hmm. like, oh, no. Like,
she's like, I just want to burst out crying.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like you want to start bawling in here, just wretched crying, mm-hmm. which to me, like wretched is like stomach is so tight that you're almost puking because you're crying so
hard. Like you're crying with your whole body.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she said, I don't know if it's the dead or the living mm-hmm. crying.
Yeah.
But she said, overwhelmingly, the feeling of the person is an empath mm-hmm. and that Amy was getting this person was getting physical with the person, hitting them in the stomach, hitting and tripping. She's just having fun torturing this person.
Yeah, the ghost is having fun torturing him. And she said, the person in this room needs help ASAP.
Yep. Yep.
So they were right about Michael to be worried about him.
Right. And I think another thing we need to put on the bingo card is that one of the clients has abilities.
Oh, that's a good one.
And this one there will be three.
Yeah.
Or maybe even four. I don't know. They didn't really say that much about the dad, but everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now Steve's doing his offsite investigation. He meets with some animal control experts to rule out the fact that there might be animals that got inside the house.
They basically live in a freaking swamp. Yeah.
They live in a swamp.
They got roosters and chickens and goats. And the men's...
The animal control, that's the title. The animal control experts' names are Isaac and Kevin. I wrote them down. Yes. Okay, were delightful.
I appreciated Isaac and Kevin because they're like, I mean, there's definitely rodent activity in the attic and roof, but they're not getting in the house. Yeah. So one of them said, I don't think this is the activity your clients mm-hmm. are experiencing.
Right. And I'm like, Steve, really? You think that monkeys and pythons are grabbing them while they're sleeping?
Well, I can tell you that a mouse falling on you does not feel like somebody grabbing you. Because when we were at deer camp years and years ago, just have like naked beams up on the top and
put some clothes on them a cot. For Pete's sake.
This is a family show.
Have some dignity.
It was hot. And up in the loft, all the heat comes up to the top. So you sleep with like your leg out because you're just sweating.
That's how
buckets.
The monsters get you.
And well, the mouse got me, and all of a sudden I'm kind of half awake, but then I feel on my bare skin four little feet running up my
leg. This is reason 1 billion why I'm don't
like,
sleep outside.
What the hell is that? And I kicked my leg across. And, I mean, the room isn't very big, and my buddy Kevin was on the other cot. like 5-6 feet away. And he goes, what was that? I go, a mouse. He goes, dang it. Because we clean out we do our best to clean out the mice, but they can get into anything. Yeah. But I can tell you, 4 little feet running up your leg does not feel like a human hand grabbing you. Even a mouse falling off of the ceiling.
I mean, that'd great. Be a
now
really
I have
big
a new
mouse.
Fear unlocked of a mouse falling on my head. Great.
It fell on my leg. It's fine.
I always worry that I'm going to get a mouse crawling on me because we used to anyway have mice down here in the basement. But
I'm always afraid of spiders. I didn't even think about mice. I'd prefer a mouse to a spider, honestly. But they have gross tails.
Okay. No, they can carry rabies, so you could get real sick if you got bit by one. So
okay, we need to move on because I'm just feeling
right
everything
along.
On me.
Here, this will cheer you right up. Amy was shown a bed with arms coming out from under.
Oh, that's right. Wonderful.
And something grabbed her ankle. And she said, there's a nice little hole under the bed.
Yep.
And this lady does not want Amy to see it.
Because that's where she lives. She lives in the hole under the bed.
Yep.
The ghost lady.
Yep.
So great for her.
Who lives in a hole under the bed?
Ghost lady.
Corpse lady. Square pants.
Lights for ice.
Who lives in a hole under the bed? It's creepy.
We need to workshop it a little bit.
We're going to work on it. It's in progress.
It's going to be a new hit.
Wait for our single.
I bet you Taylor Swift will sing it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Next up is the genealogist.
Not a gynecologist.
His name is Mark Fearer. And they're on one of those marsh boats.
Airboat.
Cool. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I was like, what was the point of that, you guys?
It was
what
so
was
dumb.
The point?
And Steve goes, I don't usually have my interviews like this or whatever the hell he said, but it's just like,
dude, they must have paid a lot of money for that boat and that's why they wanted to make sure they showed it.
What was the point? It had nothing to do with anything.
No, it didn't.
Because they were in the Everglades and here's where I think it connects is to the person's story that we hear about because.
I guess
loosely.
They did want to show that we're in a marsh.
Very loosely.
I guess. So Mark, the genealogist, tells us about
not a gynecologist.
Not a gynecologist. Richard J. Bowles. And there was some confusion on at least my part because I couldn't understand if his name was Bowles. The closed captioning said B-U-L-L-S.
Yes.
Yeah. And then later it was B-O-L-E-S.
Yeah. And then the death certificate said B-O-L-L-E-S.
Yes. Yep. That's how I knew because I paused.
And that's where I found it online. Yeah.
I did find a bunch of stuff on him, actually. I couldn't find anything at first. And then I know APU found some stuff. And then I went back today and I found a whole bunch more stuff. So I'll put the links in the show notes. We can talk about some of it if you want. But
they so skimmed over this so
this is
much.
Actually a really fascinating story.
It's
really, really interesting about this guy. So he was super charismatic, ladies' man. He was short. 5'6", which made me laugh because isn't that how tall Steve is?
Yeah.
So they call him the Napoleon of finance.
Which I never found any information on that. I looked up who they called Napoleon of finance and I found somebody named like Ferdinand Ward or something like
really?
That.
I did find one article about Richard. They called him Dickie Bowles. Mm-hmm. And he, it did mention Napoleon of finance, but I didn't find it by Googling Napoleon of finance. Found it by Googling.
Yeah, I Googled the Napoleon of Finance because I was like, well, if somebody's got a nickname like that, because he was also on the New York Stock Exchange at the age of 23. Which is supposed, in 1800s, because he was born in 18, he was 73 when he died in 1917.
Oh, I found his birth date I found his grave actually. So on the Find a Grave website. Anyway, I don't recall what his date of birth was, but in 1908, he was married. His wife's name was Julia. Things went bad. He had some affairs and bad investments. In 1908, he got 500,000 acres of swampland from the government to sell.
You forgot that he had a divorce. So has affairs, a divorce, bad investments. His life goes to shambles, which is definitely.
And then some of the property that he was given to sell is the client's property. And he convinced people who had never been to Florida that they should come here and buy this swampland. He said they called it
paradise,
Garden of Eden.
He called called it the Garden of Eden, Tropical Paradise, and the Promised Land. So I found information specifically on this and why he got the 500,000 acres.
Okay.
Because that wasn't really clear to us. Like, why is he being handed this acreage?
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't technically, I don't think he owned it, but he was given it to sell. So what happened was he had other land schemes. He had a mine in Colorado and farms in Oregon. So he's approached by the governor and the former governor, or the governor and the future governor of Florida, as they were doing reclamation of the swampland. So they were supposed to be literally draining the swamp and putting it into more fertile soils to encourage people to live in Florida. But it didn't really get drained. So he had multiple companies out there to sell the land. So he had salespeople out there selling the land for him. And they had, one was the Florida Fruitlands Company, where they were selling 180,000 acres of the farm for up to 12,000 acres, or 12,000 farms, sorry, which is about 15 acres. And each of those farms would have cost $240 in 1908, which is about $8,000 today.
Still a good deal.
For 15 acres, that's really good. The salespeople went across the country promoting, you know, promising a Garden of Eden, the tropical paradise or tropical land. Mm-hmm. So this is a quote from one of the articles. These swamp boomers enticed potential buyers with sales literature quoting government officials who extolled the possibilities of the Everglades. In one such advertisement, U.S. Secretary of Agriculture James Wilson said, quote, that doubting Thomases were waiting for the Everglades to develop before buying would regret it all their lives, end quote.
Oh.
And that was from a website that's everglades.fiu.edu that I got that from. So it kind of, he got put into this position a little bit because he could spin a tail. Mm-hmm. And then when it started going south, the government was like, oh, we didn't have anything to do with that. Because they went after him too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was sued by them for fraud by the government.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, he's just a real estate broker. I mean, that it said real estate was his on his death certificate. One more thing I want to mention about his death certificate. It said he was a widower.
Really?
Interesting.
It didn't say he was divorced. It said he was a widower.
Well, did he divorce Julia the physical way?
So I don't know if I was wondering. Okay, well, let's move on a little to what happens with when he dies, or if you want to talk any more about what happened while he was alive,
Mm-mm.
we should do that now.
Nope, okay. Just when he passed was in a smoking car of pulmonary edema and in a large heart.
And then they did say out of nowhere, a woman came forward claiming they'd been married for like 20 years with two children.
And that he was married, that he was with this. She said she was with him even when he was married to Julia.
To Julia. They were having an affair.
Now I'm wondering if she is like the first wife that died, quote unquote, but didn't really. Like he just said she was.
But dead. They only talked about Julia as the first wife and then that he divorced. And then they didn't say anything about another person until she came
out. So maybe he was married, kept her as a mistress for 20 years, but they only mentioned her. I don't know.
I'm just wondering who this dead wife is.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm wondering if this woman maybe was the dead wife, wasn't really dead. And she came back saying, hey, I've been here this whole time. I have kids with him. I've been with him for 20 years. But he somehow told somebody that.
But she said she was having an affair with him while he was with Julia.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I just thought it was weird that it said, and they didn't talk about this in the show at all, him being a widower. I just noticed it on the death certificate. Because I'm always nosy and I always stop and pause and take a picture and then begin it.
I'm curious if because he divorced Julia, maybe that he got married afterwards, even though he was starting to have issues and whatnot. I don't know. All I know is that at one point
Okay. The woman that came back, her name was Susan Thompson Bowles.
Susan Thompson, who came out trying to get his will, but she couldn't prove anything, basically. We don't really learn a lot about this. We just know that she was there. And Steve has another super sensitive comment. Okay, so we got this dead con man and a secret wife and kids. Uh-huh.
He doesn't have a lot of respect for the dead con man, so that's why he called him that.
Yeah.
I know, I'm like, but Wouldn't we call him something else today? Who does the dead con man make you think of?
I'm not tracking.
Orange man?
He's not dead.
Oh.
I know he's not dead.
So you're saying Steve thinks this considers this guy a con man, but not his favorite guy. Got it. Okay.
Yep.
I thought I was supposed to be thinking of another dead con man. And he's not dead. So I was thinking of the orange guy. But I was like, nah, that's not what she means because he's not dead. Okay. Got it. Yeah. So they show Amy going into the house from the outside. And it looks like she's entering the first time. So I think that's edited strangely. Mm-hmm. I think this is what she sees right away in the beginning. The elderly man in his 70s. He's about 5'7", and he's afraid of someone. And she thinks it's his wife, and that's the elderly lady, and that he knows that she's crazy. Mm-hmm. And she said, Amy says he has some heart problems and thinks the lady may have killed him.
Mm-hmm.
So pulmonary edema is liquid in the lungs, by the way.
Just edema means swelling, right? Like fluid swelling. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. So pneumonia. Mm-hmm. Maybe she tried to drown him once or twice.
Yeah.
That classic old tale.
That old chestnut.
Drown me once. Fool me once. Drown me twice, I die. I don't know. That was terrible.
We'll workshop it.
We'll get back
to you guys on that one. That'll be with
Stay
our...
Stay tuned. That'll be our second hit.
Yeah.
Off of our first album.
Yeah. When I was digging through the archives, I found an interesting article that I will put in the show notes. But one Iowa investor said after purchasing the swampland and inspecting it, he said, I have bought land by the acre and I have bought land by the foot, but by God, I have never before bought land by the gallon.
Ah, because it's swampy.
Because it's all wet.
It's all water.
And then I was wondering why anybody was looking for any money, because I thought he died poor because
he was tied up in lawsuits.
He was all these lawsuits, but it said
he was a millionaire.
Yeah, it's
multimillionaire.
It said that amazingly, that in his trials, especially the biggest one, the jury decided that Dickie Bowles was a quote unquote honest man, and he was judged innocent by the court. He was later awarded $1.4 million by the state of Florida for his past land sales.
I think that there's more to the story here, and I do think that there is something that was he was the scapegoat for the government. Mm-hmm. I mean, he made some of those deals, and but he was told that they were doing the reclamation, that they were, you know, making this land into something that was usable.
Yep.
But that doesn't get really shown in the show.
No, it doesn't. This is all just stuff we found.
Yep.
Okay. So now we're with Amy. She is, she's talking about the old lady still, and she says that the lady is telling her to get out, but is showing her diamond jewelry, and she's all about her appearance.
Mm-hmm.
She likes to act like she has money. She says she was thin. I was skinny all my life. She had kids and did really bad things with money with that guy out there, Amy says, that she thinks is her husband.
Mm-hmm. That she may or may not have killed.
So do we think this is this Julia or is this Susan?
I think Susan.
Okay. Yep.
100%
it's Susan. Yeah, Julia's, Susan. She's not around.
Right. That's what I thought too.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and then my next section I wrote, did you have Dream Home on your bingo card? How about brutal murder?
Yeah.
Yeah. Another brutal homicide in the old records.
Yes.
I hate that saying because to me, I feel like every murder is a brutal murder.
Well, if you poison someone, that's not brutal. Brutal is like
I suppose,
beating
yeah.
somebody or
a brutal
shooting
murder.
Them 100 times or
I
something
suppose,
like that.
Yeah.
There are very peaceful ways to kill somebody. Trust me, okay. I've seen a lot of TV shows.
Yeah.
Have you been contemplating
yeah,
Amy?
What's...
Don't tell me. I don't want to be an accomplice.
No.
Possible deniability. Moving on.
No.
Heard it here first.
Or did you?
No, I'll cut it.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I won't.
Hey, cut it out.
Steve goes to talk to former detective Edward Wojtal. Wojtal?
I would say Wodel. Wojtal?
Maybe the...
I said Wojtal.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. If I knew his ethnicity, I might know how to say his name, but I don't. He talks about a black couple, Lisa Forbes, who is 20, and Hugh Liverd, who is 27. And he said they had raised a 4-year-old boy together, which I thought was really weird wording.
That was
Why didn't
weird,
you just say they had a 4-year-old son?
Because later they say that she bled to death in front of their little boy.
Yeah. So it apparently was their kid. But I was like, was that not their kid? Was it just her kid? Or I don't know. Anyway, September 11th, 1982, the couple was in Lisa's apartment, which is also weird. I thought, I was like, isn't it their apartment? Maybe they were separated. He grabbed.
Okay, hold up.
Yeah.
She would have been 16 and he would have been 23.
And he would have been 23.
In 1982.
No, maybe when they had the baby. Because if she was 20 in 1982, their boy was four.
In 1978, she would have been 20.
No.
Or she would have been 16 and he would have been 23. Yeah,
gross. That's disgusting.
Yeah. What? Wait a minute.
So if
she has a four-year-old boy, 20 minus 4 is 16. Right.
27 minus 4
is 27.
23. Yes.
When they had the baby.
Yes.
So maybe it's not her little boy, but it's theirs now.
I was wondering if it was her little boy because it was at her apartment then too.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Or was he there with his little boy?
I don't know. Couldn't find anything else on this story when I tried searching for it.
Both of these people, and I couldn't find anything. I wondered if this story was just made up because I couldn't find anything. I found, let me see, I'll find where I wrote what I found.
There was a Lisa Forbes, but she was set for murdering her boyfriend.
Went to prison for it, came out, wrote a book, was on the talk show circuit or whatever. And then there was a stabbing and a knife. Yeah, we didn't get to that part, but he grabbed a 6-inch kitchen knife, stabbed her, slit her throat. She died in front of the child.
Yep. She bled out in front of the child.
Yep. And then he freaked out and ran. But I did find that there was in this little, I shouldn't say little town. I don't know if it's a little town. I've never heard of it before. But at any rate, in Davie, Florida, in 1985, there was a woman that was stabbed and her throat was slit, but that's not her name. And she, it's not. And the guy is still alive and in prison for doing it. And he's white.
Yeah. So there were a couple that were found like in the canal or something like that. So
there were a whole bunch of unsolved murders, but I couldn't find anything about these two. I couldn't find anything.
And especially that's where I was like, well, maybe it's outside of Fort Lauderdale or something, but I was looking for that. But then again, here's another one of the tropes that I'm like, oh, they use this to make it seem like it's closer, where they said he drives to a swampy area that's about 2,000 feet from your client's property. Yeah. That's between a third of a mile and a half mile.
I looked it up and it's 0.378789 miles.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah,
I could not find anything about this. So who knows if it's even real.
But then Amy had some connection because it was to the but it was connected to the RV, which I thought was interesting too, because that RV could have come from
anywhere.
Something could have been in there. So Amy connects in, but she said, this is really weird. It's like someone's broken neck. It hurts really bad. I think it's a female. Oh, yeah, they're dead. They're really dead. Really dark hair. She's a bigger girl, 5'10". In her 20s and murdered.
Yep. And then she also sees a guy who's acting zombie-ish. Yep. He's walking stiffly and strange. He's 6'2", 220 pounds or more. She thinks he might be black. This was in the 1980s. He was in his 30s. And he gets up on you, made her nervous. And he showed her a swamp area. So it sounds like this is who Amy is seeing, but...
We don't talk about them in the reveal either. So
they never come up again.
No.
Which is bizarre.
But they aired.
Yeah, true. Absolutely could have happened. That reveal could have been 12 hours long, cut down to 10 minutes. And here's another repeat. I saw several disturbing things on my walk, but blank stood out.
Stood out the most.
Yeah. So she says she wants to, she has the old man who's bald, lots of wrinkles. And she says lots of wrinkles on top, but she's just gesturing her upper lip. Super bushy eyebrows and a thick neck. And then the old lady who made the hole under the bed to rest. And her body is decomposing, which I didn't remember her saying that before.
She said that at the very beginning. She said she's like a rotting corpse.
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, you're right. You're right. With the eyes and all. Yep.
Yeah, jeepers creepers.
Yep. So she is coming up under the comforter. And then... the other thing on the bingo card is, yes, that's what I saw. So anybody else want to talk about the reveal?
I had in here that, at least from the way they edited it, when Steve starts talking about, you know, we get in there, first off, he throws Krista under the bus that she does Reiki, but this is obviously out of her league. Mm-hmm. And I was like, really? Like, you couldn't have found a nicer way to say that. And Amy just kind of was like, oh, okay, yep. Like, she's nodding. It appears that she's nodding it along. Like, yeah, I figured somebody was doing something or had some abilities here. We talk about a little dead guy who is very afraid of the deceased woman. And then Amy has a what I call a light bulb moment when they start talking, because they were talking about Richard Bowles. Mm-hmm. And when the lawsuits are mentioned, she's like, oh, yeah. I always call those light bulb moments, because it's like something just turned on for everyone.
I want to mention before we get too far, when Amy was talking about the male and she said, he's a little guy. I put him at 5'7". And I wrote, shots fired, because Steve is that height. And I felt like she was like, he's just a tiny little guy. Kind of like you.
Yeah. But she, I think I kind of took it as like a little old man, like kind of maybe hunched over a little bit or something like that, too. But I like your thought. And then we get the first picture, the first sketch right away. And I was actually surprised because Steve didn't really give away like he usually does. It was just kind of like, you guys tell me. Mm-hmm. And Michael, the father, goes, I got a knot in my throat because that's the guy I saw. And Amy says, holy shit.
And then he said, I have a picture of him, you know, well before he died. And he looks so old. And I said, if he's that old long before he died, what did he look like when he died?
Yeah. He was probably a shriveled up raisin.
Yes.
Yeah. The sketch was, it was good. I was like, we didn't get a very long glance at it to see if it was really, I didn't take a screenshot of anything of that, but.
Oh, I did.
Okay. And then we get like the dead woman is finally, the connection is there. Amy is like, yeah, they don't like each other. She was a housewife. Mm-hmm. Supposedly. So this was something that learned in some of the other information, is that supposedly they got married, or this came out that they got married in 1896, but she couldn't prove it to the courts.
Yeah. She didn't have the marriage certificate to prove it.
Okay.
So that's not something we heard earlier on in the show. That's what we heard in the reveal. So getting new information that's kind of vital in the reveal. Yeah.
That's another thing that we've come across before.
Well, but he.
But again, we don't know if they had that and they cut it.
Yeah. And he and Julia were married when they were like, they said he married Julia at 23. Okay.
They were young.
So he would have been. Yeah. So he would have been 53-ish when he married Susan.
Okay.
Because he died at 73. He died at 73. Mm-hmm. So
unless they had like a commitment ceremony and not like an actual marriage.
Yeah. Who knows?
Or she might have just been full of shit and trying to get money.
Yeah.
Amy. Well, I mean, Amy does say it does feel like they're married. So she does confirm all of the activity that the family is feeling, the confusion, the touching, the brain fog, the chaos, the depression. She calls the old woman an energy vampire.
Yes. I used to work with one of those.
Technically, aren't all vampires energy vampires?
No. They have like blood vampires and then energy vampires. They're different.
I know, but what's your blood?
Yeah, but it's not the actual energy. It's just your blood. You're getting real technical.
What I mean.
Yeah.
I know what an energy and a blood vampire are, but I'm just...
You're just being silly. You're being a silly goose.
Silly goose.
Why don't you go back to the pond if you're going to be a silly goose?
So this is where then Amy talks about... when Amy talks about the voices being gibberish, and she says she realizes, Crystal realizes this is the one her brother has heard.
Yes.
And that's when Amy says she does, this woman does image borrowing. And this is the thing that's like the doppelganger the mimic. She does image borrowing. Well, I Googled image borrowing and I could not find anything.
See, and I think what I feel like it's like is like she's putting on a mask. Mm-hmm. Like she is putting on a full figure mask that she is the person, but she's not necessarily doing their mannerisms and all the things that would mimic everything, but she's doing just enough that you make out of the corner of your eye or down the hallway, you think it's the other person.
Well, and Krista did say she looks a lot like my mom. She didn't say she looks exactly like her. But she looked enough like her for her to go, oh, that my mom's
turn
over
around
there,
and say hi.
It wasn't her.
I will say, too, when they talked about the gibberish, Krista, when she was talking to Steve, had said she'll hear like gibberish being spoken. She's like, I don't understand what they're saying, but they, and then Michael Anthony said he heard someone speaking to him in tongues, which was Susan and being gibberish.
And Krista is, you know, breaking down at that point.
You can tell they're a very close family because she's so worried about her brother.
Oh, and Steve does give her a hanky.
Yeah, he did. I said, well, fucking time, Steven.
Amy tells them that this woman has the hots for Michael, and Michelle goes, she's got to go.
And then this...
But we don't... Oh, go ahead.
I was just... Are we... I was going to move on to the second sketch. Are you ready for that? Okay.
Yep.
And then Steve is back to, you're not going to want to see this.
This one was fucking terrifying.
It's terrifying.
I remember this one from the first time.
That artist did a wonderful job on this sketch. It was terrifying. I was not a fan.
And I like, I play a little game as I go watch these shows to see which scene is Amy going to depict.
Yeah.
And so I try to guess.
Did you guess?
Who she's going to
draw. Guess?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Coming out from underneath, from a hole, hole under the bed. Like a troll.
That was really creepy.
Makes me think of, and that's why we drink with M's troll hole.
Yeah, but that sounds like
that's
a fun one.
That's a very much a fun troll hole. And this was not a fun troll hole.
And after we see the picture, then Amy starts talking about the back bedroom and says that person is in trouble and needs help. They're in such a dark place. I couldn't, you know, like, and Steve says he was in such a dark place. I couldn't even talk to him. And Amy's like, whoa. And Krista starts going on how, you know, she's concerned for her brother. And Amy's like, well, you're the one who's most in danger. Like,
in the words of Whoopi Goldberg, you in danger, girl.
And then we find out about Krista's cancer. And Amy's reaction was like, oh, okay. Like, it was like
clicking.
She was putting pieces together. Like, oh, now the puzzle picture is clear. And she's like, yeah, she wants to jump you and she wants to kill
you. She has jumped her. She has been doing temporary possessions. So that's why they recommend what they do at the end. But
And that's after we hear about Krista getting jumped, we hear Michael say, I'm pissed as fuck and there's nothing I can do about it. And then Michelle says, I want this bitch out. Enough. Enough.
Yeah.
And we take our commercial break to go to
But then I will say Michelle did get up and hugged Krista because she was losing it. And I'm just like, you could just tell that this family was just really, really close. And just genuinely concerned for one another, which is not always the case, Brittany. But and then we do cut to commercial for the what do they do?
And the other very much repeated phrase. And for that, I'm going to turn it over to Amy. So Amy says she's going to get a team in here that she works with.
Her team. She specifically said a team of people.
She said a team of people I work with.
Yeah, which I thought was interesting because most of the time she'll say you need to find a Reiki master. But this time this is so serious that she's like, I'm going to trust the people that I work with.
Well, and I think she always wanted to, but they aren't always available to help everybody because they do this on their own as well. Not just when Amy asks them to. And I did find out this is spirit mechanics. So. And she said they have all types of abilities and they will take Michael Anthony and Krista away from the home, do a cord removal on Michael and an exorcism for Krista.
Because she's been jumped. And she said each time you're jumped, it leaves they leave aspects of themselves in you.
Oh, that was
which just is so gross.
Which, like, to me explains part of why Krista doesn't ever remember. She, like, she says she feels some of these things, but she doesn't remember. She doesn't see herself in danger because she's not, because the
doesn't
woman's,
know,
like, blocking
right.
it.
She doesn't know
well, the
everything
woman's, like,
happening
blocking
to
it
her.
To make sure.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then she just starts crying. Krista's crying because, like, you hear the word exorcism. That's very scary.
That's scary. That's really scary.
Because you think of the movie that I will never see, but.
oh, I saw it.
Oh my God, I'll never in my life see it. Never.
The first time I watched it,
I saw the newest two.
I was still sort of a believer back when I watched it. And so when I watched it and she was doing, I won't even, you probably know what scene I'm talking about.
Is it the split pea soup scene?
No, it's before that. And she's doing something with a cross and saying something awful. And I was like, oh my God, my house is going to get struck by lightning. And I had to turn it off.
I don't know that scene. I only know the split pea soup scene.
Okay.
My dad used to go, because it came out when he was in high school or like in that time frame. And he and his buddies would go into the theater, and they especially, it came out around this time of year where there was the Shamrock Shakes.
Oh,
God. And they would go up into the upper balcony of the Heights.
Your dad is terrible, but that's funny.
But that's not even the worst things that he's done. But I'll save this for offer.
Okay.
He was a troublemaker. And so, you know.
Sounds like it.
Mm-hmm. I didn't learn any sarcasm.
Nope.
Nope. No, I didn't learn any of that from my dad either. That's for sure. Nope. So she says that the woman will be removed. The guys, their team members will get bowls out. And then the woman will have to be forcibly removed because she does not want to go.
But she said Richard wants to go. Like, yeah, he'll be easy to move on. He wants to move on. But yeah, then, she's like, no, I don't want to go. Yeah. Like, bitch, gotta go.
Bitch's gotta go. And then Krista has the best quote.
Before that, though, Steve says, well, I was going to ask if you're going to take Amy's advice, but that feels like a stupid question. And Michael goes, yeah, don't even bother asking.
Mm-hmm. And that would have been the time that it will say, they couldn't find a Reiki master. And so they're not.
Yeah.
That's always how that works. They're like, oh, of course we are. Of course we are. But no. So, yeah, I just want to mention Krista's great line.
Her line was great.
I didn't survive cancer to be taken up by this lady.
Yep.
Yep.
Good on you, girl.
And then they cut.
2 months later.
This was so, and I loved, so they do a video update.
Yep.
Everything's good. They said the difference in our life is like night and day. And the thing that made me happiest was Michael Anthony was in the video with his fiance.
Yep. And he talked.
He talked and he was like, it's night and day. He said
something, how like their lives have changed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that made me feel really happy.
That made me so happy.
See, this is the kind of thing that we are missing when this show does not return. But then we see some of the other crap that we've seen over the time and heard from some of the clients that it happened to.
Yeah.
That, you know, gives you that like,
yeah.
But so glad that this happened, that they got the stuff that they needed taken care of.
That you could just tell they were all lighter. They were all smiling. You could just tell the difference.
They read their script really well.
Script. They practiced in front of mirrors.
They're all life changing.
Nope. Hold it back.
Great.
It's life changing. No, need them more. They need more. So they really did practice. But it was good.
It was good to see that.
Yeah. It made me really happy.
Yeah.
Because I was nervous there, Amy, when he was like, you don't even have to bother asking us that question. I'm like, oh, please. But Amy said it was her team coming in, so I had a lot more faith that it was.
And I think that she would prefer to have always been able to offer up the spirit mechanics to do this. But, you know, it was right after this aired, it was COVID, and they were busy. They couldn't do it there, you know, and so I think they got backlogged. At least that's what I heard, is that they got really backlogged. By the way, if anybody who's on Spirit Mechanics team is listening to this, we would love for you to come on the show. We would love to hear about what you do and different cases that you've done, because, you know, I've done a lot of them. And we'd love to hear that. Pretty, please.
With sugar on top.
Yeah. Okay, so that was super fun. That was good.
This was a really good episode.
We've had a couple good, interesting episodes in the last few years. Yeah.
It's been good.
It has.
Well,
all right.
Thank you for joining us, everybody. We really, really appreciate it. Next week is our last spring break recap. We'll be in New Orleans. I think that's how you say it.
New Orleans.
It is called Deadly Vessel. It was season 11, episode 7. And it originally aired August 21st, 2019. So stay tuned for that. Watch it. between now and next week if you want to follow along with us or not. I mean, that's
or if you remember it. I don't remember it.
I don't know. I remember a lot of things. I don't remember this. I don't. Steel trap.
Yep.
Colander. Yep. So yeah. Well, thanks everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
We'll see you next
time.
Thanks,
everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Activity Continues podcast. We really appreciate you giving us your ears for a bit. Please reach out if you have a spooky story you'd like us to share on the show. We can be reached at theactivitycontinues@gmail.com or through our website or any of our socials. Links are all in the description of the show. Please feel free to drop us a note and say hi. And join us next time when the activity continues. The Activity Continues is produced by me, Amy, at Collected Sounds Media and is part of the independent Collected Sounds Podcast Network. We are also proud members of the BooPod network of super cool podcasts.
Nailed it.
This is just a disclaimer and sort of warning about this podcast. The Activity Continues podcast is in no way affiliated with the Dead Files, its production company, or any of its distributors. We are simply fans that love the show and love to talk about it and dissect it and, yes, make fun of it. But we do love it. And all of the opinions expressed herein are ours alone and have nothing to do with the Dead Files or any of its cast, crew, production, or distributors. And we swear. Enjoy.